May the presence of God be with us tonight, and may His Spirit move amongst us. I am looking forward to spending the evening together. Jesus gave us a simple command in His final Passover, which was the final Passover, at least the final legitimate Old Testament Passover that He celebrated with His disciples. But it was somewhat different from the others previously, where He said, "Take, eat, this is My body." And He said, and He passed the cup and He said, "Drink ye all of it." So we have those two simple commands: take and eat, and drink. So it seems like this is one of the commands that the church has taken very seriously throughout the millennia since, and good for that. The communion service has a intention of reminding us of what Jesus has done for us. It is intended to remind us of how that we are one bread, one body. There is a discussion in various theological circles about, you know, where is the body of Christ in the communion service? The Catholics, they say that the bread and the wine turn into the body and the blood of Christ. There are other theologies that say it's within or kind of like or among the bread and the wine. But we have a different conception of the presence of the body of Christ when we are together in communion. And that is that we see the body of Christ in His people. And we are together as the body of Christ, as one bread. So He said, "Take and eat, and do this in remembrance of Me." And the apostle tells us before we do that, we should examine ourselves. So this evening, I have a perhaps somewhat of an unusual sermon to preach. I think I'm stretching the definition of a sermon by calling this a sermon. I have a compilation of scriptures that I would like to read surrounding examining ourselves, surrounding God's presence, and those kinds of things. Before we do that, I would like to sing number 139. Based on the psalm that our brother read, I think that was Psalm 139. Let's stand as we sing this song.
Lord, Thou hast searched and seen me through.
He knows the words I
stand on every side. I find thy hand. Awake, asleep, and warm abroad. I am surrounded still with God. Amazing knowledge and great, what light expand, what lofty is in the boundless prospect lost. Oh, may these thoughts possess my breast. Consent to sin, for God is there. Amen.
You may be seated. I'm not going to ask you to turn to scriptures. I'm just going to read, and I would ask that you would listen. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves have that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be reprobates. That's the command to examine ourselves. And so we are commanded to do that, but to not judge others. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Romans 2 verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. We are biased to favor ourselves. So we have to be really honest. We have to be really humble before God and before each other. there is a way that seemeth right unto men. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 26, 24 and 25. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. It can get pretty personal, can't it? Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? He answers the question. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. I, the Lord, search the heart. So God sees our condition. God's vision of our condition is perfect. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast set me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I flee from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God's word to Solomon at the dedication of the temple. Thou Solomon, I'm sorry, this is not that. This is David's words to Solomon as he was telling him that he's going to be the next king. And thou Solomon, my son, know thou that the God of thy father, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. The Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Think of that. This is Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. Then hear thou in heaven, the dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. What an honest admission. This was the same man that prayed for wisdom, who could have been proud, unfortunately, whose ways deviated from God's will. But at this point, he was a humble man, and recognize God's sovereignty, whose heart thou knowest. Thou only knowest the hearts of all the children of men. He also wrote this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Job wrote, hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. The place of the grave is naked before him. Destruction hath no covering. Psalm 11, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Here's something striking. The Lord trieth the righteous. So if God's Spirit is testing you, He's taking you for righteous. But the wicked and him that love violence, his soul hateth. But the ones he loves, he tries. So subject yourself to God's eyes. Proverbs 15:11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? I usually think of hell as being a place where God is not. And I think that if we think of the future place of the damned as being hell, that that's a place where God is not. I think that's accurate. But here, this is perhaps a little bit of a different meaning. This is the place of the damned. This is the place of the dead. This is where death and so on. But they're before the Lord. If that place is in God's sight, how much more than the hearts of the children of men? Amos 9, although they dig into hell, thence shall thy hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And although they hide themselves on the top of Mount Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. God's presence in hell, in heaven, top of Mount Carmel, depths of the sea. Hebrews 4. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. It's starting to sound familiar, isn't it? Jesus' words, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and whatsoever you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Jesus' words also, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither is anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. That's God's knowledge. It's God's knowledge of our thoughts and of our intentions. Paul's words, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. So we are told to examine ourselves before we eat the Lord's Supper. We are told to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. And Paul says that if we will examine ourselves, then God doesn't have to judge us. Then we will not be judged. All right? So that's the idea this evening. And it should not just be tonight. We should live this way, that we subject ourselves to God's truth all the time. But perhaps this evening is a special reminder in light of our communion that's planned and of Paul's instruction to examine ourselves before we eat. So we're told to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. I'd like to submit three tests when we are thinking of examining ourselves. The first is, do I walk in the Spirit? For if we live after the flesh, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Walking in the Spirit is a test. Do I walk in the Spirit? Are the fruits of the Spirit being brought forth in my life? Or is it the works of the flesh? A test. Do I walk in the Spirit? The second test that we should apply to ourselves. Do I keep His commands? Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." John's words. "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him." First test is, do I walk in the Spirit? Second test is, do I keep His commandments? We're testing ourselves. If we be in the faith, do I keep His commands? The third test is, do I love my brothers and sisters? John 15, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." We have a heroism, not complex, but perhaps dream about ourselves and our actions. Yes, we would gladly lay down our life for our brother or sister if we would be called to that. We're like Peter, who says, "I will go with you to death." But three times a simple question unnerved him. "You were with him, weren't you?" He said, "No." So we have this heroic ideal that we think that we're going to live up to. "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." But sometimes we can't even give up our opinions, and we can't even give up our grudges for the sake of our friends and for the sake of our love for God. But that's a test. Do I love my brothers and sisters? 1 John, the epistle of John, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." This is testing our faith. Do I love my brothers and sisters? 1 John 3 again. "This is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. He that keepeth his commandment and dwelleth in him." I'm sorry. "He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." In 1 John we have all three of those tied together. Walking in the Spirit, keeping his commands, loving his brother. Let me read that again. "This is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Loving one another, keeping his commandments, walking in the Spirit. That threefold test that we should apply to ourselves. We hear much about peace in the brotherhood, but such peace is only possible when we have peace with God. And we hear much about peace with God, and such peace is only evident by our peace with the brotherhood. When God's people love Him, they will love each other. When God's people love him, they will love each other. Matthew 25. Then came one of them, which was a lawyer, and asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. Loving God, loving your neighbor. Loving God, loving your brother. The two cannot be separated. Loving God is only possible in the context of loving our brothers. Loving our brothers is only possible as we love God. The heart of the matter, the crux of the issue, is the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Matthew 12, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Jesus' words in Luke 11, No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when a bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. What's in there is what is coming out. The light of the body is the eye. All right. The crux of the matter, when that is right, what comes out is right. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. If your eye is evil, your body is full of darkness. And so, we pray with the psalmist, Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. And again with the psalmist, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And then with Jeremiah the prophet, Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer.